Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hunger warnings in Gaza, plus U.S. export controls sink Alibaba's cloud spin-off plans. And as winter blankets Ukraine, Mitch McConnell leads a charge to unstick a new U.S. military aid package.
What he sees is a set of interrelated threats, that everything's related. This is the time for the U.S. to step up in a comprehensive way and hold back these forces that are threatening Western democracies.
It's Friday, November 17th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The UN's World Food Program has warned that Gaza is facing widespread hunger, with nearly its entire population in desperate need of food assistance. The agency said that only 10% of necessary food supplies had entered Gaza since the start of the conflict. That comes as Israel continues to face diplomatic pressure to provide evidence justifying its raid of Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital earlier this week, and to back up its claim that the hospital was used as a Hamas command center, a claim that Hamas denies. Israel's search of the hospital presents it with a political and diplomatic challenge. Finding a command center at Al-Shifa would help Israel legitimize to Western nations that support its decision to send troops into a hospital. But if its intelligence turns out to be faulty, it would increase international scrutiny of the broader military campaign. Here was Israeli President Isaac Herzog in an interview yesterday.
I want to say outright, we care for the people of Gaza. And it tears my heart to see casualties in Gaza. And I say it as the head of state of the Jewish state of Israel. But first and foremost, we have the right to defend ourselves.
IBM has suspended advertising on social media platform X as it investigates a report that its ads appeared near anti-Semitic content on the site formerly known as Twitter. In a statement, IBM said it had zero tolerance for hate speech and discrimination. The head of business operations at X said the platform, quote, is not intentionally placing a brand actively next to this type of content, nor is a brand actively trying to support this content with placement, end quote. IBM's decision to pause ads comes as X owner Elon Musk is under fire for agreeing with a post on the platform earlier this week supportive of an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. A lawyer for Musk didn't respond to a request for comment. Shares of Alibaba tumbled nearly 10% yesterday after the Chinese tech giant announced that it had scrapped plans to spin off and list its cloud computing division. Alibaba cited the impact of export controls that took effect late last month. The Biden administration has tightened restrictions on China's ability to buy advanced semiconductors, making it tougher for U.S. companies to sell existing products to China. Alibaba had originally planned a historic restructuring that would break the behemoth into six main business groups and target an IPO by May 2024. And a historic antitrust case against Google will soon be in the hands of a judge who says he's still not sure which way he'll rule. District Court Judge Amit Mehta has been overseeing 10 weeks of testimony from more than 50 witnesses in the non-jury trial, the evidentiary phase of which ended yesterday, and he'll now have to decide whether Google used illegal agreements to sideline its rivals and cement its monopoly in online search. If he does, he has the power to force Google to potentially sell off parts of its business. Meta plans to hold closing arguments in early May and has asked both sides to submit written filings before then. As winter sets in across Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky is warning citizens to brace for an onslaught of Russian missiles that are aimed at knocking out power and heat. And as Ukraine's top general warns that the war risks turning into a stalemate, a fresh American aid package is now tied up in Congress, where it faces growing Republican opposition. One person trying to change that is Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and Journal Congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes profiled the Kentucky Republican this week, and she joins me now to share what she learned about his fight for Ukraine aid. Siobhan, could you just start by briefly reminding us where the latest U.S. aid package for Ukraine currently stands?
Biden has pitched about $61 billion in aid for Ukraine as part of a broad foreign aid package that would also include aid to Israel, aid for Taiwan, even money for the border and domestic spending. The logic here is that by balling everything together, including popular Israel funding, that will increase the chances that this can pass through Congress. The problem we're running into is that members of the Republican Party, some want to split things off piece by piece. For example, do Israel aid alone, maybe do Ukraine aid separately, and in tandem with some border policy changes that are very, very controversial among Democrats. And so the stage is being set for an impasse right now.
To that end, where does Mitch McConnell fit into this? Is he on the White House side of things, sort of wrap this all into a broad foreign aid package? What's the case that he's making?
Mitch McConnell has tightly linked arms with the Biden administration on this. And it's unusual in the sense that he's out a little bit ahead of where the rest of his party is. And his case is you need to look at the facts. You need to put politics aside in this instance, because we're in a world in which Russia is threatening Ukraine and a rising China appears to be giving a bit of a green light for Putin to go ahead with his invasion. And finally, you've got a situation in which Israel is trying to fend off Hamas with support from maybe Iran, which is a bit allied with Russia. And so what he sees is a set of interrelated threats, not isolated a la carte fights where maybe you can engage in one fight and turn a blind eye to the other, that everything's related. This is the time for the U.S. to step up in a comprehensive way and hold back these forces that are threatening Western democracies.
I mean, if that view was widely held, I doubt you'd be writing a profile about McConnell this week.
Exactly. It would be a far different story. But as it stands now, McConnell, who is at the end of a very, very long career in which he's made his mark on the Republican Party, is going to be waging at least this one last battle. He is going to stick to it. Every single day we see him on the Senate floor making this case in one way or another, arguing with his own Republican colleagues, and that is going to be a driving force that will determine whether and to what degree Ukraine aid comes through.
All right. So McConnell's seniority maybe not counting for as much as it used to. When you're speaking to members of Congress day in and day out, what are they saying about Ukraine? Do you sense the winds have shifted in the last few months or even the last few weeks with Mike Johnson now in as Speaker of the House?
Well, so Mike Johnson is still a bit of an unknown entity. He's a person who has not voted for Ukraine aid in the past and comes to this conversation with a degree of skepticism. But that said, hope is not entirely lost. Johnson has indicated he might be willing to put a Ukraine aid package on the floor, but he wants it, again, hinged to these changes in American policy at the southern border. And we're not talking about just putting more money into Border Patrol agents. The argument among Republicans is, why are we thinking only about the security of a nation across the ocean? What about our own national security? And as a result, if you really want to focus on American national security, you've got to factor the border in as well.
And this is not just a shift coming about from within the Republican caucus in Congress. They are being pressured from the outside.
Donald Trump, the likely Republican 2024 presidential nominee, is almost always the loudest voice in the room on these issues. And he, on the campaign trail, has railed against Ukraine aid. And it makes it harder for Republicans in the middle of the road to proceed without at least showing they are trying to do something to both minimize costs at a time, of course, when inflation is rising in this country, and to protect the southern border to a greater degree. In the House, Mike Johnson is working with a very, very narrow majority, and he is likely to need Democratic support to pass a Ukraine aid package. Similarly, in the Senate, you need 60 votes to pass most legislation. And so Democrats are going to need to peel off 9 Republicans. And so one thing to be looking for is a very, very pared back aid package if one emerges, certainly not on the order of $61 billion, maybe half or even less of that.
That was Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, thank you so much.
Good to be here.
And while U.S. lawmakers grapple over how much aid to send to Kyiv, European governments worry that a shortfall could result in Ukraine losing ground in the war are stepping up to provide ammunition and financial support. Germany's government is planning to double military aid next year to more than $8 billion, making it Ukraine's second largest military supporter behind the U.S., while the EU is planning $54 billion in economic aid to Ukraine over the next 4 years. However, the EU will fall far short of a goal of providing Ukraine with 1 million artillery shells by March as stockpiles run low, and as Hungary is holding up EU military aid tranches amid its increasing opposition to the war. Coming up, oil prices decline for a fourth straight week, and we'll preview key elections this weekend in inflation-racked Argentina and look at what the results could mean for relations with the IMF. We've got those stories and more after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Oil prices are on track for their fourth straight week of losses after falling sharply on Thursday. Crude prices are trading around 4-month lows amid concerns over energy demand and a sharp rise in U.S. inventories over the past 2 weeks. According to analysts at ING, weakness in the oil market will likely push Saudi Arabia to continue its voluntary output cuts into next year. And we could get further signals about production levels when OPEC meets in Vienna at the end of this month. Voters in Argentina are heading to the polls this weekend in a closely watched presidential runoff. Journal reporter Ryan Dubay said the once prosperous nation is grappling with its most debilitating economic crisis in a generation.
Inflation in Argentina is more than 140%. Poverty has hit about 40% of the population, and the peso currency has lost about 90% of its value against the dollar over the last 4 years. So there's a lot of anger from people about that.
That anger has complicated current economy minister Sergio Massa's election prospects and created an opening for libertarian economist Javier Milei, who's called for dollarizing the Argentine economy, closing its central bank, and slashing public spending. Ryan told us whoever wins in the neck-and-neck race will inherit a financial crisis.
Argentina owes the IMF about $40 billion. This is from a bailout that the country received in 2018 when it was hit by another financial crisis. Under Sergio Massa, the country has not been reaching its targets that it agreed to with the IMF, so it's most likely would need to re-engage with the fund to renegotiate those targets and try to come up with a new program.
And that is What's News for Friday morning. Today's show was produced by Mohsen Ali and Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer was Daniel Bach, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Otherwise, have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.